It's going to take revival in our hearts to do what I'm going to try to preach about today. Preach about the victorious Christian life. And to have a victorious Christian life, we're going to have to walk in revival with the Lord Jesus Christ every day we live, don't we? Because the devil never misses an opportunity to really, like Pam says, get in there. And if you put that much crack in a door, he'll run through if you're not careful.
Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We do live stream our services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
Let's look together today in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 13 and verse number 14 in Philippians chapter 3 and preach a message about, with God's help, about the victorious Christian life. And I believe you'd probably agree that if any personality in the whole New Testament other than our Lord Jesus certainly lived the victorious Christian life, it was the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't we all agree? So he'd be a pretty good authority, wouldn't you say, to preach about how to live a victorious Christian life. And in these verses, he shares something about that. Listen as we read together. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or have arrived, you might say, or I've got there. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a famous painting, and probably most of us have never seen it. I never have, but I've seen copies of it. There's a famous painting hanging in the art gallery in London, England. It's a painting of two chariots in a dead heat race, you might say, racing toward the goal line or the finish. The charioteers have their whips out, lashing their horses, getting every ounce of energy that they possibly can from those horses. You can see the intensity in the eyes, in the bodies, in the horses. The horses' nostrils are flared like they're just gulping for air to get every ounce of breath they can. And the wheels on the chariots are almost like a blur. They're just giving everything they've got to get to race to that goal line to see who can get across the goal first and be the winner. And those others who are in that chariot race are so far behind, they've just kind of been lost in the background, and they're just almost a blur in that painting. But the viewer's eyes are focused on those two chariots, the charioteers, the horses, giving it everything they've got, pressing in that race toward the goal. I think that's kind of what Paul had in mind, the kind of thought he'd had in mind, when he gives us just a little piece of the biography here of his own life. He talks about how he's pressing forward with everything that he has. He's pressing forward in the race of life to finish the goal line and be a pleasing participant unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul just kind of bears his own life here. And I believe there's some words here of encouragement to us who want to live the victorious Christian life. I ask us a question. Are you living the victorious Christian life? Do you know anybody who's living the kind of life that Paul's describing right here? Would you like to live that kind of life? I would, and I want to. And I believe we'll take the principles here that Paul gives us and apply those principles to our lives. I believe we can live the victorious Christian life. The Apostle Paul did. Paul lived so close to the Lord, he could say, "Be ye followers of me." If you followed the lifestyle of the Apostle Paul, certainly it would lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't it? I wonder, could we, each of us, say in our own heart, if you'd just follow the lifestyle that I live, would it lead someone closer to the Lord? If you're living the victorious Christian life, then that would be true of us too, wouldn't it? But there are some principles here I want to share with you that Paul shares with us by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Two things I want to share primarily today. I want to share what Paul says. It talks about his determination not to let his past life interfere with his present life. And then also his direction for the present, how he lives the Christian life. Let's go back and look at those thoughts together. First of all, notice Paul's determination from his past life. Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past. Now, Paul's speaking here from 30 years of Christian experience. He's not a novice. He's not a newborn child of God. He's been serving God now for 30 years when he makes this statement, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past. Now, did Paul mean you can erase your memory? No, you can't erase your memory. No one can do that unless you have Alzheimer's. So he didn't mean to erase your memory. When he says forgetting those things which are past, what did he mean? He meant do not let those things in your life in the past be an influence in your life in the present to hinder you, to stop you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people do you know like that? Do you know anyone like that? Are you living a life like that? You can't live in the past. It's gone forever. You can't live in the future. It hasn't got here yet. So all that we have to live is in the present. That's why the Lord Jesus said, today is a day. Behold, now is a time. All that we have is the present. All time to God is in the present tense. There's no past, present, or future with God. Every time, all the time is in the present tense with God. So what did Paul mean then when he said, I'm determined not to be influenced by the things in the past? Beloved, listen to me. If you're going to live the victorious Christian life, you cannot allow the things in your past life to influence you in the present. Now, I'm just going to mention two things here that Paul talked about and look at it in Paul's life and apply those principles to your life and mine. What is it that you think Paul would say that in his past life he would not allow those things to hinder him from serving God in the present? Same thing's true for your life and mine. He was determined, first of all, not to allow his past sins influence him for serving God in the present. Listen, Paul could have lived a defeated life. Paul could have taken the attitude and said, well, you know, I'm just not worthy to serve God. Look at what I've done. Look at how I've lived. I've chased Christians all the way to Damascus. I've enchained Christians. I've brought them back for conviction and execution. He could have said, because of what I've done, how I've persecuted Christians, how I've persecuted the church, how I've treated the Lord Jesus, I'm just not worthy at all to be a Christian. He could have been defeated by those past sins he had committed. He could have been defeated by the very stand he took. If you've read your scriptures in the book of Acts chapter 8, you'll find the stoning of the martyrdom of Stephen, the deacon. And as Stephen was being stoned to death for his stand in the Lord Jesus Christ, they took off their coats, the Bible says, and they placed them at the feet of Paul, Saul. And Paul consented to the death, the stoning death of Stephen. As far as we know, as far as the scriptures teach us, Stephen was the first Christian martyr. So Paul consented to the martyrdom of the first Christian, as far as we know. He could have said, well, because of what I did, I consented to the death of Stephen. I have persecuted the church. I have persecuted the Lord Jesus. So I'm just not worthy to live the Christian life. Listen, he didn't let those things influence him. He didn't live that defeated life. He didn't throw up his hands and quit and throw in the towel, so to speak, spiritually. He just didn't let those past sins influence him in the present. Now listen to me, folks. That transcends time right on down to your life and mine. Over the many years I've been a pastor, 46 years, I don't know the people who have come to me and have talked to me in counsel about the fact that, preacher, I just can't serve God the way I've lived. I just can't serve God what I've done. I can't serve God because of what I'm doing now. I just can't. They just list sin after sin after sin after sin to defeat them from serving God in the present. Listen to me. If God has forgiven you of your sins, they're gone. If God has forgiven you and forgiven me, what right do we have not to forgive ourselves? The biggest baggage people carry is sins of their past. So many people can't serve God in the present. They're no earthly good because of how they lived in the past. Listen, I doubt probably most of us didn't live like Paul lived. Paul was absolutely responsible for murder. I've never killed anyone, as far as I know. You probably never have killed anybody. So listen, it doesn't matter what your past sins might have been. When God forgives you, they're cast in the sea of forgetfulness to never remember them against you anymore. So why then would we allow the devil to drag up those things in our old past life and say, well, I can't serve God, I'm defeated, I'm not worthy to serve God. Don't let those things influence you. Forgive yourself. For God already has, if you've asked Him. So Paul didn't allow those past sins that he had committed influence him from serving God in the present. Beloved, listen, you shouldn't either. If you're living there, then you need to come to this altar today and lay those things down and admit them unto the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgive me. I've never forgiven myself. You've taken care of these matters a long time ago. Help me to do that today. Some of you might need to do that today so you can leave this place of worship and live the victorious Christian life. So Paul said, I'm determined not to let my past sins disqualify me from serving God in the present. You shouldn't either. But there's another thing in Paul's life he kind of reveals to us. If you just have read anything about the life of the Apostle Paul, you can readily pick out those things as I share them. He was determined not to let his past sins influence him. But he was also determined not to allow his past successes to influence him from serving God in the present. Listen, if there was anyone in the New Testament who would be qualified, you might say, to say, well, I'm ready to retire. I've done so much for the Lord. I've done my part. I'm going to just step aside now and let somebody else step in my place and take up where I'm leaving off. I'm going to retire and kind of rest on my successes that I've had throughout the years. That was not the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't say, I'm going to let my successes hinder me. Paul was more determined now to serve the Lord than ever in his life. He had already served God 30 years, and he was so determined now, even more so, to serve God until the end. He didn't allow his past successes to hinder him. And Paul certainly had his successes, didn't he? Paul was probably one of the two most educated men in all the New Testament, probably alongside with Dr. Luke. Paul was educated at the best universities that were available to anybody in the world in those days. Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest philosopher of that day. He was highly educated. He was trained in the Jewish law. He was a Pharisee, he said himself. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was one of the most strict of all the Pharisees that there were. He knew the law. He had a good education. Paul just was a Jew's Jew, so to speak. So he had great success. Listen, Paul had suffered a great deal for the Lord over his lifetime. He lists on another occasion all those things that had happened to him. But he said the Lord stood by him. Yet Paul did not allow those past successes to hinder him from serving God today. He could have said, well, look at Paul. Look at all those missionary journeys that I led and took for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at all those string of churches that I started down through the years. Well, Jesus is very fortunate to have me on his team. Paul could have said, look at all those young preachers that I trained, those missionaries, all that great missionary zeal that I have and that I've done for the Lord. I could just retire now and be successful, sit back on my laurels. Listen, but he didn't. I'm sorry to have to say, over the years, I've met some people, Christians, say they are. Look what I've done for the Lord, preacher. I actually had someone say one time, preacher, if it wasn't for me and so and so and so, this church would never made it. I said, whoa, you better wait a minute. Now, if this church belongs to you and you started this church and you're the head of this church, then that'd be true. But the last time I checked, the Lord Jesus is the head of the church. The Lord Jesus started the church, and he said he would come back for the church, which tells me there's going to be a church here when Jesus comes back. I'm going to be a part of it. How about you? So Jesus is not just fortunate to have you nor me on his team. We're the fortunate ones to have Jesus in our hearts, in our lives. Amen? Don't think about your past successes. I've heard people say, oh, I've done so much for the Lord now, preacher. It's time for me to retire. I'm just going to step aside and I'm going to let somebody else, let the young folks have it. Let them come by and pick up where I've left off. An old preacher told me a long time ago, and I've remembered it over the years. He said, and this was kind of a crude old mountain preacher. He said this, preacher, if you'll just hurry up, ho-ho out your row, he said, God will take you home. You won't have to ask him. You don't have to worry about it. When God gets through with you, he'll take you home. No need to think about retiring. Paul wasn't going to retire. Paul didn't retire until he retired to heaven. Amen? I've been pastoring for 46 years. I believe God's given me a greater determination to go on for the Lord today, Brother Jim, than I've ever gone in my life. I'm enjoying preaching the Word as much, if not more, today than I ever have in my life. I don't have retirement in my vocabulary. If God lets me stay healthy enough to preach His Word and have some amount of mind to share the Word of God, and you still want me as your pastor, I promise you, I have no intentions of retiring. God called me to preach. God has not called me to retire. God didn't call Paul to retire, and he didn't. So you see, Paul was determined not to let his past sins nor his past successes to hinder him from serving the Lord in the present. What a biography Paul has to share with us to help us in these days to live that victorious Christian life. If there's ever a time, beloved, when people need to live the victorious Christian life, it's today. It's in the present. Things are so much negative, as Pam has shared. Things are against us. Things are, as the Bible says, waxing worse and worse and worse as time comes and goes. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. So we'd better understand not to allow anything to determine us or to deter us from serving the Lord. But it's a second thought I want to share with you. Paul just didn't have a determination not to let his past influence him. He had also a direction for his present to serve the Lord as he served God day by day. Notice what he said there in verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I'm reaching forward for the things that are ahead. It's like that painting I was talking about. Those charioteers, those horses, they were giving it all they had, pressing forward toward the mark. What was the mark of the prize for them? It was coming across that finish line first and foremost. Paul said, I press forward with all that is within me. His determination, you see, gave Paul a new direction for the present. Paul said, I reach out for the things in the present and the things, of course, in the future for his life. How many of us are doing the same thing? How many of us are living today in the present, reaching forward to the things that are ahead for this church, that are ahead for your life, and that are ahead for my life? Listen, Paul had his eyes set to the future. He didn't have time to look to the left, see what that Christian was doing. He didn't have time to look to the right, see what those Christians were doing. He didn't have time to look back, see what else anybody else was doing. Just like those charioteers, they were pressing forward. Didn't have time to look back, didn't have time to look aside. That's Paul. That ought to be us today, shouldn't it? We don't have time, beloved, to look at what somebody else is doing or not doing. Listen, the finish is out there. The end is nearer than you think. Are you so determined like Paul? We ought to be. He lists some things why he was so determined. He was determined with a new direction now to live in faithfulness for the Lord. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing forward. He had in mind here the athletic games of the day. Now, we've just come through a series, you know, just a few weeks ago, of the Worldwide Olympics. In all the Olympic trials and whatever games they have, just like it was in Paul's day, whether you're a runner, whether you're a swimmer, whatever it is you're doing, you have a lane that's marked out for you to travel in. And if you don't travel in that lane, you don't strive lawfully. And you'll be disqualified in the game. That's what Paul's talking about here. He said, I press toward the mark. God had a lane for Paul to run in, and Paul ran in that lane from the day he met the Lord Jesus Christ at the Damascus Road experience. He had a lane for Paul, and Paul got in that lane, and Paul followed that lane till he met Jesus face to face in eternity. Listen, God has a lane for you. You got to strive to be faithful, and God will help you to stay in that lane. Paul made another reference on another occasion about the fact. He said, you know, I'm so concerned about my own life. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. He said, I'm so concerned about my own life that when I have preached to others, I may become a castaway. Now, what's he talking about? He's not talking about losing his salvation. No, no. Paul's talking about being disqualified, being where God could no longer use him. God had to put his life on a shelf somewhere and not use him. We ought to be concerned, beloved, about living faithfully to our Lord, that we wouldn't live a life that would disqualify us and God have to put us somewhere on a shelf. There's nothing more pitiful, I believe, that I've ever seen in my life than a Christian who has disqualified themselves, that God couldn't use them. He's discredited his life, brought shame to the Lord, and God's put his life or her life on a shelf and couldn't use them anymore. Paul said, I really am aware of that. That can happen to me. And after I preach to others, I'm aware of that in my own life. After I preach to you, to become some kind of person that God couldn't use anymore. Paul said, I want to live in faithfulness to the Lord. He said, I press. You see that word press? Look at that word press in that verse. I press, he says. What does he mean by that word press? It means this. It means he would give it all that he had. It's almost like overextending himself. It's like those runners, like those charioteers, like the swimmers, whoever they may be. When they see that finish line, they know they're getting ahead. They know they're ahead of all the other participants, and they just extend and even overextend, and when they get to that finish line, they lunge forward and press through the tape. That's what he's talking about, living a faithful life. But Paul said, I'm longing for the prize. The prize. You see what he said? In the athletic games of Greece in those days in Rome, in the athletic events of today, only one gets the prize. The first one and the only one who passes through that gate, breaks through that ribbon, finishes first, they are the ones who get the prize. Aren't you glad that's not true in the Christian life? Every child of God who enters that race of Christianity, every single one of us, passed through the finish line, and we're going to get the prize. There are no losers in the Christian life. So you can take heart to live the victorious Christian life. You're a winner always. Like the old song that Inspirations used to sing, you remember it? They sang, whether I go or whether I stay, I'm a winner anyway. Amen? We are. Paul said, I'm pressing. I'm giving all I've got. I don't have time to worry about what somebody else is doing or what somebody else is not doing. Listen, Paul said, I'm coming to the end of my race. Beloved, listen to me. Most of us physically are nearer the end than the beginning. Amen? Most of us have lived a number of years as a child of God. I know I'm 9/10 probably toward the end of my race, and most of us are at least 50% or more toward the end of your race. There's a prize out there that Paul's talking about. He said, I long for that prize. Paul looked forward to that prize. Well, there's a finish line, beloved. Listen, and you're going to cross it. Paul said, I am so determined. I have a new direction to live faithfully, to strive lawfully. But also, he said, I'm looking toward the finish. I press forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus coming again. The prize of the high calling, the calling up of the church, the calling up the Apostle Paul, your calling up, my calling up, upward calling of the Lord at the athletic events, even at the Olympics. If you viewed any of them, you'll know we've seen it. Those who won the gold and the silver and the bronze, they all had to step up to a little small podium area, and they stood there almost at attention, waiting for the one who's the official of the games to come and present them with their award. In the Olympic Games in Paul's day, there was a huge colonnade of stairs. And at the top of those stairs was a podium area where the official of the games, many times it was the emperor, sometimes it might have been the queen or some high-ranking official of the Roman Empire or the Greek Empire, they'd be seated at the top of that stairs. And the winner of that event, whatever it was, would come to the very bottom of those stairs, and he would climb that colonnade of stairs unto the very top and present himself to the one who officiated the games, and they would place on his head a little laurel crown of leaves of some sort. Maybe olive leaves, I don't know what they might have been, but they were just vegetation of some sort. They had placed that upon his head, designated him as a winner of that event. Now, what's Paul talking about here when he talks about the upward call of Christ Jesus? It means when Jesus comes again and he calls us home, we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The Greek is the word bema. The bema seat of Christ. Every single one of us, listen to me, there's going to be a finish. You're going to get a cross. We're going to all be assembled at the very foot of those great stairs at the bema seat of Jesus. And by the way, a lot of folks got a mixed up idea about the theology. They think that when you die, you go to receive your rewards. Then, no, you don't. Every child of God will receive their rewards at the same time. Nobody gets ahead of anybody else. We'll all appear before the bema seat of Christ. And when your name is called, you'll step up. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself will present you the rewards of the faithful life that you've lived while you live for him down here. And all the saints of God will rejoice in the very fact that you've been faithful to the Lord. So you see, there's going to be a finish. That day is the day Paul was talking about. That day is the day that you and I are living toward every day that I live and every day that you live. There's going to be a finish. You ought to be so determined that you wouldn't let anything from your past sins, anything from your past successes to deter you from living for Jesus today. And you ought to have new direction in your life to live faithfully for Him, strive lawfully for Him, and look forward to the finish. Listen, there's going to be that day. There's going to be a finish. And listen to me, you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. If we're Christian, we're going to be there. Listen to me carefully. How are you living your life now? Honestly, you have to examine your own heart. I'm not your judge. I'm not the one you have to give an account to, but there is one. His name is Jesus. I'll have to give an account of the life I've lived down here. So will you. When I stand before my Lord Jesus on that day, when my name is called and I step up, I want to have that crown of life that Jesus promises. There's a crown of life to all those that love His appearing. I'm loving His appearing. I'm looking for Him every day. I want Him to place that crown of life on my head. And I want to hear Him say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of your Lord." Whether I receive any more rewards at all, the one that matters is the crown of life. And you'll get that crown if you love His appearing. Look for Him. Live for Him. Long for Him. Love Him. Serve Him. And in my estimation of understanding, I believe that's revival. Nothing less is acceptable unto the Lord Jesus, but us living that victorious Christian life.
Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church today. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. We do live stream our services on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.